The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right, we are here, and it is a Friday, and I didn't forget about you, YouTube. It's starting right now. I know I'm about 10 seconds late, but there we go. All right, YouTube is here. I think we're all good. All right, it's a Friday, everybody. Yay. And I got to tell you, I've had the weirdest 24-hour period. For the first time, I had a tweet go viral. Now, you know, I posted something the other day when that sort of went viral. It was... you know, they came up with a brand name for the Pfizer vaccine. Now that it's totally, fully FDA approved, they came up with a brand name. And I couldn't even tell you what it is because it's some ridiculous, like, Comirnaty or something like that. I don't know. And I just said, they should have just called it Covfefe. I stepped on the line there. Covfefe, right? It's got the COV. It's a ready-made word. Maybe even Trumpers would take it because they think it's, you know, from him. And that took off. It got like a lot of tweets and retweets. And I thought, oh, I've got my first viral tweet. Oh, no. That was nothing. Because yesterday, I got to give my husband credit. David comes in here and shows me on his phone this. Oh, and I don't even have the camera on. Hi, everybody. Hi. So David comes in to the studio and shows me that graphic, the picture that I just had up on the screen. Here, let me put it back up again. So those watching on video can see it. So it is this newspaper ad. It was a full page ad that ran in the New York Times and the Los Angeles Times. And it ran, I guess it must have run on Tuesday or Wednesday, right? And I thought it was hysterical. So I tweeted it out. I tweeted it along with, all I said was kudos to Trevor Noah and Associates and Sons for today's New York Times full page ad for insurrection protection. And, you know, it's hysterical. So here's what the ad says. Here, I'll put it up again. Let me see if I can put it up without my logo on it. So at least it's not, what the hell? It's not like blocking me in the face. Okay, here we go. All right. So it says, did you do an insurrection? Then you need our protection. We guarantee to win your case. Or lose and insist we actually won no matter what. Because that's what they would do, right? And then it says, Trevor Noah and Associates and Sons, Patriot Attorneys. And then it says, we fight these charges. First degree normal tourist activity. Lectern theft. Attempted vice presidenticide. I'm sorry, I like that one. Attempted vice presidenticide. Stuff you admitted in a Facebook post for some reason. Still, stuff no one would even have... Sorry, my brain and eyes are not working together. Stuff no one would even have found out about if not for your snitch ex. Okay. Then it says, storm our law offices today. I mean, the ad itself is just chock full of funny. Because it's funny, right? So it's Trevor Noah and Associates and Sons. And they've got the phone number here. And then it says, because you're only, there's writing over this, because you're only guilty of listening to the president, also felony assault. Wait a minute. I think that calls for, boy, I'm just like off today again. I think I need a vacation. Boom. Yeah. Also, felony assault is just a great touch. But there is a phone number on here. And when I told you about this ad yesterday, I didn't even think about the phone number. And then my Twitter started taking off. So by last night when I went to sleep, it had something like, I don't know, 8,000 likes and a couple of thousand comments and retweets and things like that. Well, right now, I got to tell you, this is so weird. Right now, it is up to, I think I need a drum roll here. Now I gotta open it again. Damn it. No, I lost it. My Twitter stream is going so fast that I just can't keep up with it. All right. Here we go. All right. Here's one. So as of right now, it has 23,113 likes, 4669 retweets, and 382 replies. So this thing has just been going nonstop. It's pretty wild. And I'm surprised at the not overwhelming number of trolls. I mean, there are the typical, you know, right wing. This, you call that an insurrection? If that was an insurrection, why wasn't anybody charged with insurrection? And I'm just blocking them because, you know, I don't need that shit. But I thought what we should do is call this number. And actually, a lot of people told me on Twitter that they did. But I also got I got messages from people who are overseas, like one guy in particular who's in Australia. And he said, I'd call, but I can't because I'm afraid it's going to cost me a fortune. So I said, don't worry, we'll call it on the air. All right, so let's do it. The number is 1-85-OOPS, O-O-P-S, which is 6677, and then Jan 6, like for January 6th, which is 5266. All right, so let's hear what happens.
Thank you for calling Trevor Noah and Associates and Sons, the number one law practice in America now that Rudy Giuliani has been disbarred. This call may be recorded for quality, law enforcement investigations, and training purposes.
Okay.
If you stormed the Capitol on January 6th, press 1. If you incited the riot but did not attend, press 2.
Okay.
If you're the MyPillow guy, press 3.
You're the MyPillow guy. Let's try 1.
Press 4.
We stormed the Capitol. Oh.
Let's try that again.
Oh.
If you stormed the Capitol on January 6th, press 1.
Okay, we did.
If you incited...
1. I pressed 1.
Okay, since you can't get it right, we're going to assume you did storm the Capitol on January 6th.
Okay.
Please say...
What?
If you stormed the Capitol on January 6th, press 1. If you incited the riot but did... Please stay on the line while we connect you with a lawyer. Rest assured, law enforcement is not tracking your location as we speak, nor are we buying time while GPS satellites lock onto your position. Nope, no buying time here. Hey, how about a little music?
Okay.
You like reggae?
I do. Okay, all right, obviously they put us on hold so they can track our location. Let's go back to the menu, I think.
If you stormed the Capitol on January 6th, press 1.
Okay.
If you incited the riot but did not attend, press 2.
We'll do that.
If you're the MyPillow guy.
Hello?
Okay, since you can't get it right, we're going to assume you did storm the
no,
Capitol
No, we already
on
tried
6th.
That. Do 2.
Please stay on the line while we connect
Man.
You with a lawyer. Rest assured, law enforcement is not
no,
tracking
no, no.
your location.
It worked right
speak.
Before. Maybe I just need to turn my mic
if
down.
If you stormed the Capitol on January 6th, press 1. If you incited the riot but did not attend, press 2. If you're the MyPillow guy. Thank you for calling, Senator, Congressman, Fox News host, and or former President Trump. You're all good. No repercussions. Somehow, this is not your fault at all.
Really?
Goodbye.
Oh, and it hung up on me. Really?
If you storm
the- Oh, it's back to the menu?
Let's try that again.
All right, let's try it again.
Okay, since you can't get
no,
it right,
we're gonna, going to assume no, no, no. We're going to try we're going to try number 3. What are the choices again?
Please, if you storm the Capitol on January 6th, press 1.
Right.
If you incited the riot but did not attend, press 2.
Or
if you're the MyPillow guy.
We keep getting, she said, if you're the MyPillow guy, press 3. All right, let's press 3.
Okay, since you can't get it right, we're going to assume.
This is not working.
If you storm the Capitol. Let's try that again.
Let's try it
if
again.
You storm the Capitol.
I'm going to turn my mic down again
okay.
to make it work. Okay, 3.
Please stay on the line while we connect you with a lawyer. Rest assured, law enforcement is not tracking your location.
Okay, we heard that already.
Nor are we buying
I want 3.
If you storm the Capitol on January 6th, wow, you're lost, my dude. Like, way beyond just needing a lawyer. Good luck with everything. Yikes.
Yikes. And that was it. So press three. Boy, you know what? This worked a lot better when I tried it before I came on the air. I think my mic kept picking up, noise and kept interfering with her. I wonder if I can try it, because somebody, some intrepid interneter out there said, you know, Trevor Noah's done this before. And in fact, a year ago, The Daily Show had a different ad for legal services. This one was, well, it's aimed at a former president. What the ad is, another full page ad that they ran a year ago. I don't know how I missed it then. But this one says, are you a soon to be ex-president about to lose legal immunity? Has your lawyer gone to jail? Call the very fine people on your side, Trevor Noah and Associates and Sons, presidential attorneys, that says we can defend you against corruption, mega corruption, emoluments, who knows what that is, shady rich guy tax stuff, obstruction of justice, same price for multiple counts, good to know. You told people inject bleach for some reason, and mail murder. Oh, I get it, because Louis DeJoy, they did murder the mail. It says, we'll get you off, and you won't even have to pay us $130,000. Wait a minute, they're still playing reggae on the phone. Oh, that's funny. The reggae music was still just playing on the phone, because I hadn't hung up on them yet. All right, this is what I wanted, though. Because we needed that. My mic is really, really hot. Okay, well, I turned it down. Yeah, you know, I'm having weird. It's a good thing it's Friday, because again, I'm having issues here. My headphones all of a sudden have no right channel. Actually, I should do it that way so I can hear myself. So it's a problem in the board. So I don't know what it is. So anyway, but this has a different phone number. You know what? This one, I'm going to see if I can just do it on this phone, because I don't want to use my other phone, because it obviously that didn't work well. So let's see if I'm connected to the Bluetooth. And here we go. Yes, we want to be on the Rodecaster. Connecting. Okay, pair. All right. So now we're going to try to call this number again and see if this works. Will it work? We shall find out. So this one is 1-210. This is 1-210-WH crime. So 942-7463. All right. This should work. Yep. Here we go.
Hello. You've reached the.
Hello. Or not.
Hello, Mr. President. I'm Trevor Noah, managing partner of Trevor Noah and Associates and Sons. Have you ever been to Uganda, sir? It's a beautiful country with a strong goat-based economy. And most important, it does not extradite to the United States. At any time on or before January 20th, 2021, I can transport you and any members of your family you actually like to Uganda. I can provide this service for, I don't know, $10 million? Let me know. Oh, and if you made a mistake and you're not actually the president, press or say 2 now. Otherwise, goodbye, Mr. President.
Okay, let's say 2.
Hello, Mr. President.
No, that was 2.
I'm Trevor.
Congratulations on not being the president. Goodbye.
Okay, so now I learned a lesson. It works better off the air, because the microphone picks up noise and it interrupts. Anyway, hey, it's Friday. We having fun yet? So let me tell you who's going to join us today. And you guys know her. Lisa Graves will be here. For those who don't know Lisa Graves, I needed a legal expert. One, because I want to talk about, you know, the Trevor Noah and Associates and Sons services, because, you know, to see if they're legit. But even more importantly, Lisa has real bona fides. She's I love her Twitter bio says, researcher, writer, speaker, the bad guys and gals. And here's the real stuff. former chief counsel of nominations on the Senate Judiciary Committee, former deputy assistant attorney general, and other such posts. And she now is the head truth finder and founder at True North Research. And she's been doing a lot of work, I mean, for years. She's the one who did the original research that introduced us to the Koch brothers and Alec and all that. So that all comes through Lisa's work, right? Well, now the Supreme Court last night handed down a ruling, and it was a bad one. So, but wait a minute. It's August. Yesterday was August 26th, and last night I get an alert on my phone saying that the Supreme Court ruled 6-3 to overturn Joe Biden's extension of the eviction moratorium due to COVID. And I thought, what? But they're not in session now. So they do occasionally take on, you know, emergency orders. And I don't know why this would qualify as an emergency. What, because the landlords need relief? How about getting all the money that was allocated to help renters and landlords out during this time of crisis? They still haven't distributed it, at least not most of it. So anyway, I thought, what? And then the more I read about it, it was an 8-page ruling. And it came down along ideological lines. The six right-winger justices all voted to end the moratorium. And the three, I hate to call them liberals, the three justices who were appointed by Democrats all said no. So it's 6-3 divide. And we're in this mess because the Republicans stole two Supreme Court seats. Now I'm thinking, so I want to hear from Lisa. Is that normal? Do they usually, would they rule on a case like this outside of their regular term? And, you know, and I want to talk about the idea of putting more justices on the court. Because frankly, if we have to live for the next, well, the rest of my life probably, with this makeup of the court, then we are really screwed. I mean, and not in a good way. And okay, so Justice Stephen Breyer, he's the oldest member on the court. He's the one that we had all hoped at the end of this term in June would have retired. So that right now we've got a Democratic president and a Democratic controlled Senate. Now's the time for him to go so we can get a decent, reasonable, hopefully somewhat liberal, justice in there for some kind of balance. But our time is limited. Election day is what, a year and a couple of months away? And let me further make you nervous. California is having a recall election for whatever reason. This is the dumbest law on the books. So they can have a recall and throw the sitting governor out of office. Look, I get you don't like Gavin Newsom. I don't like Gavin Newsom. You shouldn't have voted for him in the first place. But he's there now, and he's better than any of the Republican cretins who are running. Larry Elder? Are you kidding? He is a, you know, he was Rush Limbaugh before Rush Limbaugh. You know, back in, what, the early 90s when I worked at KLOS in Los Angeles, Larry Elder was in the same building at KABC. And he was just as reprehensible then as he is now. You thought Trump was crude? Larry Elder's worse because he's smart. You know, book smart doesn't mean he has common sense, but he's at least got half a brain. And he's dangerous. He's a misogynist. He's a bigot. He's just a bad guy. And so 49.9% of Californians could say no recall, vote no on the recall. And you know, and what, 50.1% say yes, then he's recalled. Then there are something like 48 people on the ballot who are running. So somebody, Larry Elder, who is allegedly the front runner right now, Larry Elder could get 10% of the vote. And remember, Gavin Newsom could get 49.9%. In essence, people saying no recall, but if he's under 50%, recall done, he's out of office. And the winner of this ridiculous contest where 48 people are on the ballot. Whoever gets the most votes, you don't need a majority, just a small plurality. So somebody who gets 10% of the vote could conceivably go in and become governor of California. Now, I know everybody thinks California is all, you know, la-la, hippie, you know, but it isn't. It isn't. Los Angeles and San Francisco are very liberal, but there's big swaths of California that are not. You know, we used to joke Orange County, we'd call it behind the orange curtain, and that was before even Trump, before we knew that orange was the color of anarchists, or no, not an anarchist, authoritarianism, or just, you know, batshit crazyism. Yes, and Sashi is making a good point in the YouTube chat room. He says, we can't vote Newsom, not on that part of the ballot. So here's how else they're fucking up in California. They didn't put anybody on the ballot. So they are counting on enough people voting no. And they're saying, don't deal with the second part. Because you could. You could vote no on the recall and then still... What was that? Oh, I know. My phone is still hooked up on the Bluetooth. So you could vote no on the recall and then still cast a vote for a candidate should the recall go through. But they forgot to put Newsom's name on the ballot or anybody else who could be a reasonable candidate. So if by some chance, if they say no to the recall, then Gavin Newsom stays in office. But if they say yes, by even 0.1%, California's screwed, and then so are we. Because Dianne Feinstein has one foot in the grave. She should all be in the grave by now. She should be out of the Senate, yet she won't go. And if something happens to her, and we have Larry Elder as governor of California, he gets to pick her replacement. And that's how easily the Senate can be turned. Scared yet? If you have a ballot for the recall election in California, open it up right now and make a big X on that no. No! Vote no! All right, someone's on the phone from the 434 area code. Hi, who's this?
This is Linwood, my friend.
Hey, Linwood, my friend. How are you?
I'm still learning.
Are you? Okay.
You know, yes, I am. You know what's interesting about you breaking this down?
What?
This is what the Republicans did last time to get elected statewide.
In California,
they cannot win statewide in California.
Right.
So the best way they can go about winning is going through this channel.
That's right. That's right. Because this is not Democratic. The only way they win is if it's not Democratic. Right. So are you talking about when they had the recall last time of Gray Davis and that's how Arnold Schwarzenegger got in?
Yes. That's the exact same way Arnold got in.
Yep.
It's through that recall election.
Yep.
And Arnold would have not gotten in if Gray Davis didn't make such a big screw up in California as currently Gavin Newsom is.
Yeah. You know what? Look, before the election, I think I did tell you, Gavin Newsom was horrible, terrible. But people liked him for some reason because he was Jerry Brown's lieutenant governor. But he was not Jerry Brown. Jerry Brown was a great governor of California. He really turned the state around. Gavin Newsom is not him. And obviously you're learning that now. But you know what? There's a little over a year left on his term? Let him ride it out and run somebody better.
But the thing about it is the Republicans can't win statewide in California as they once did.
Right.
Because you got to go back to the 1990s when Pete Wilson was in there.
Yep.
Pete
That's
Wilson
when I was there.
Ran on an anti non-white resentment towards those that are coming from Mexico.
Wow.
And the same thing that Jan Brewer tried to do in Arizona in 2010 with the SB 1070, he tried to pull the same thing. And what ended up happening, it cost the Republicans that state altogether.
Yeah.
To where those swaths of red you're talking about,
yep,
they are less populated
right
than those areas you just mentioned. So all those coastal areas and all of Los Angeles is outvoting large swaths of the state. Because all their voters are concentrated in rural areas.
Right. Yes.
Farmland.
Exactly. Yep. They're inland.
And so this
you know,
is their
Fresno,
only attempt
yes,
to have.
You're right. And this, apparently the polls are starting to shift a little bit. But you know what? If the Democratic Party doesn't go all in on this, to make sure people vote no on the recall, then just hand everything to the Republicans, because they will. Look, Dianne Feinstein could keel over tomorrow. I'm not wishing anything bad on her. I wish she would retire. She's making noises about running again. I mean, ridiculous already. And so everything hangs in the balance right there. You know what? By the same token, look at
Elder too. Yeah. I want to mention, I'm sorry to cut you off. I want to mention something with that Elder too.
Go ahead.
The Republicans don't want Elder in that race.
Really?
They don't. They want him to drop out now.
Then who do they
because
want?
They're afraid that he's going to sink the ticket. Who they want is Filer, the former mayor of San Diego, to be the front runner. They do not want Caitlyn Jenner in there, who may have called her a number of cases.
Right.
Bruce.
Yes. No, she's not Bruce.
They
she's
don't want
Caitlyn
him
Jenner.
In there.
Her.
They don't want him
No. Hey. Hey, excuse me. We don't do that here.
I'm sorry, ma'am.
A woman.
They don't want her in the race.
Thank you.
Because it may sink the ticket.
Right. I agree. She's a terrible candidate. I mean, and even she had declared her candidacy, and then she flew off, I think, to Australia to participate in a reality television show, ostensibly while she was campaigning. So she's taken this really seriously. It's ridiculous. But by the same token, the same thing could happen in Vermont, where you have two elderly senators. And you know I love my Bernie Sanders, but Bernie and Patrick Leahy are both very old. And Vermont has a Republican governor who says that if Bernie, you know, got the nomination or something, he would nominate a Democrat. I don't believe that. I'm sorry, I don't trust the Republicans.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
But
he would
but
not.
This is how precarious the Democratic majority is. They have three votes to spare in the House and not a single vote to spare in the Senate. And California could throw it all into chaos.
The only difference is Elder does get it. Democrats have a supermajority in both houses.
Do they?
So if they want to pass anything, if he decides I'm going to ship this bill to them, and if he vetoes it, they can override his veto.
Right. Well, I hope so. You know, I haven't lived in California. I left California 20 years ago, so I'm not really up on current politics. Instead, you know, I have Florida politics to deal with, and that's a whole other story. Linwood, I'm going to run just so I can get a very quick dig in at, thanks for calling, Linwood. I appreciate the call, and I'm glad you're still learning and that you're open to learning. That's a good thing. Here in Florida, there's a reason I call it Florida, our idiot governor, Ron Death Sentence, is just delusional. And so today, where did I write it? I have notes everywhere. There was DeSantis, here's what I wanted to tell you. He had a bad day in court too. Florida today, just in case you were wondering, added 27,584 more cases of COVID today, Friday alone. Did you hear that? 27,584 new cases in Florida. And Ron Death Sentence lost in court. A group of, I think, eight families sued him over his refusal, his saying that school districts cannot enforce mask mandates. And the court said, oh, yes, they can. So moron Death Sentence is not having a good day today. All right, one more call. Looks like this is from the Long Beach area. Hi, who's this?
Hi, Nicole. This is Sashi.
Hey, Sashi from the chat room. I asked you to call in. So you said in
That's
the chat
why I'm
room
calling.
That Gray Davis did not screw up.
Well, I mean, not to the level of recall.
Right.
It's been 20 years, so I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, nor,
but
nor
my
do I.
Anger, frustration against the Republican Party the last 40 to 50 years. It's just more of their nonsense, stealing our democracy. And this was another case of that. Enron came in, fooled with the backing of the Republicans, the Bushes, the Cheneys, stole from us.
Yeah.
I think there was a $10 billion settlement that we were awarded, and Schwarzenegger did not enforce it, which is probably one of the motivating reasons to get him put in place of Davis.
Wow. Yeah, you know, California is the is always the state where I think, all right, the sane people are in charge there. But you know what? These Republicans are everywhere, and they just want to screw things up. I wish we could take 20 years off of Jerry Brown's life, you know, age, shave 20 years off his age, and get him back in there and have him run for president again, because he did wonders for California over his two terms, I thought.
Yeah, but he did, when the Democrats are in charge and can control the legislature, we'll get good laws economically. We'll get some good social justice laws, but the problem with the Democratic Party is it's gone so far to the right, the corporate Dems, that they keep thinking to win votes, they have to be more regressive. I don't use the term conservative. They're not conservative. They're regressive.
Right.
This lot of people. And the Democratic Party has its own power issues here in the state. Our Speaker of the House is a Democrat. And I had a personal experience. I don't want to make this about me, but I got to see some ugly side of being part of an election from the Democrats. So,
yeah. Yeah, look, politics is ugly.
Progressive Democrats are fighting not just the Republicans, we're fighting within our own party against the regressive Democrats. So why is the Democratic Party as a national committee? Where's Chuck Schumer coming out in force?
Because he's Chuck Schumer. This is the problem. The Democratic Party is not the progressive Democratic Party. The Democratic Party has too many blue dogs and new Dems, or as Howie Klein likes to refer to them, the Republican part of the Democratic Party. They're the Kyrsten Sinemas and the Joe Manchins. There are too many of them. That's why I'm always full bore on primary season, because in the primary season is when we get to get the great candidates. But we all need to get out and vote. We need to be active at primary time, and that's when most people aren't paying attention.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Democrats by nature, we're not I know you're letting me go off on my own personal rant here.
Yeah.
But Democrats, if I can paint a broad brush, Democrats are live and let live. We don't want to control people's lives. We want to have sensible laws and rules that help lift everybody's boat, right? It seems that the Republican mentality is sociopathic, and you only need a small percentage of sociopaths to get enough power, especially with money, and they control the rest of us.
Yeah.
And if Democrats don't wake up, I have the same trouble at work. I'm active in my labor union. I work in the public sector, and it's so hard to get my fellow members motivated to participate. They don't understand the benefits we have. I've been part of contract negotiations the last several times, and every contract negotiation they're trying to take away. So even if we don't always get to gain ground, we're sometimes just holding serve.
Exactly. It feels like we're just
the members get angry at us.
Yeah.
At the union, they blame the union instead of blaming their employer and getting involved and turning to move the tide. But we've impacted the city council, and we in becoming active, a lot of us, and we are actually seeing better policies from the city, not just for the labor, us employees directly, but the city at large.
That's what it takes. So right now, between now and the next couple of weeks, everybody in California, I don't care where you go or who you see. When you see somebody, you have to ask them, did you fill out your ballot yet? It's that important. It's not only important to California, it's important to the whole country. Because if Larry Elder or any other Republican, frankly, gets in there, we're fucked. We're just screwed and not in a good way. Sashi, nice to talk to you. I found out yesterday that you've been listening for a long time, so it's nice to meet you.
Likewise. Yeah, I remember you from the Mark and Brian days, and I was disappointed when you left.
You know,
And I wondered where you were.
You
for
didn't
10 or
so when I
years,
left.
You surfaced on Air America.
Yeah,
I'm
but
like, is that the same Nicole Sandler? And sure enough, it was.
You know, when I left KLOS, I went across the street to help start up KSCA 101.9. We had a great radio station there for about 2 years, and then it was sold and went Spanish, and you know, shit happens. But
yeah,
anyway,
I my memory fades me. I don't know whether I'm manufacturing it based on some of the things that you said, or if it was a number that I did start to listen to, because these commercial radio stations,
they're just so boring.
I started listening to sports talk radio about that time because it got so, I was in the car a lot and listening
I
to
hear
the same
you.
Songs every hour.
I know.
It's like
they killed my industry.
And then I found KPFK, the public radio station. And that's what's led me to people like you and Air America, and that's where I've been for 20 years.
Awesome.
And I got a lot more active, like I said, locally.
Very cool.
I'm still active politically and always will be.
Great.
I love how some of your listeners are here, and they share what they've done and what they're doing. And we got to keep on fighting.
Without a doubt. Sasha, I'm going to run because I know Lisa Graves is waiting for my call. It's great to talk to you, and I love seeing you in the chat room. Thanks for listening.
You're most welcome. Keep doing it.
You got
thank
it.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. So, I know Lisa Graves is waiting for our call, so let me get her on the line. I mentioned a few minutes ago, Lisa is, I mean, she has been in some of the highest positions in the Justice Department. She was the deputy. Hold on, let me just dial her first because I have a hard time, you know, dialing and playing producer and host at the same time. But she was deputy assistant attorney general under, I believe, two administrations. And she turned the volume up so we hear her when she comes on. I think.
Oh, hi, Nicole.
Hey, Lisa Graves. How are you?
I'm good. It's nice to hear your voice.
Well, that's nice to hear yours, too. Happy Friday.
as far as things go, I suppose.
It's
summer. It's summer here. And there are things to be grateful for.
You're in Wisconsin. So at this time of year, it starts getting cool fast, doesn't it?
Well, it used to. But with climate change, I suppose. We've got a little bit more summer, happening here. It's actually quite lovely here. I know it's hot. Ugh. It's super hot down in your neck of the woods.
It's oppressive. It's just, I mean, I see my face on the camera and I'm glistening and, you know, it's just, you know, you take a shower and you never dry off.
I was in Florida in July of 2019. That was the last time I was down there in the summer, and it was indeed hot.
Yes. It was. So Lisa Graves, anyway, the reason I wanted to talk to you, because last night when the news came down that the Supreme Court had ruled to overturn Joe Biden's extension of the eviction moratorium, I thought, did they do that when they're not in session? I mean, I know they do make emergency orders. But one, is this an emergency? And two, when they do them, do they write 8-page opinions? And are they of this caliber?
Well, they certainly do issue some emergency opinions when they're not in session. But I really question whether this was an emergency in that sense. And in fact, as the dissent pointed out, the three justices who dissented from this decision, the fact is that there was no proper briefing to the court. The court could have held argument this fall when the session begins in October, and it didn't request the full briefing and full arguments. Instead, it reached out to intervene in this case and strike down the eviction moratorium that's been in place for some time now. And when I looked into the case, one of the things that struck me was that it was brought by two real estate agents and landlords in Alabama, along with the trade association that they belong to. And when they described for the district court the harm that they were facing, one description was that they had about $5,000 in rent that they hadn't been able to collect or evict on, and another $14,000 in rent. And so, the plaintiffs in this case who brought this suit are along with the trade groups that they're part of, you know, were pursuing relatively small amounts of money, and in the quest for that small amount of money, they reached a Supreme Court willing to strike down a law that protects millions of Americans, an estimated 7 million Americans, who would face eviction if this moratorium were not in place.
Right. And now we're back in the fourth wave, probably in some places the worst it's been. Here in Florida, it certainly is, of COVID. And there, 7 million people are at risk of losing their homes.
That's right. It's actually an extraordinary intervention by this court to claim that the federal public health agency that has this authority under this for the CDC cannot take these measures to help control the spread of COVID, even though, as you point out, we're at a particular high point in the spread of COVID and of a variant that's far more transmissible than the one we were contending with last fall and spring and summer. And so you have a disease that's surging, that's killing many people of across age groups, and you have a CDC, a Center for Disease Control, and the agency that is within it that has said that evictions are, you know, can help spread the disease by making, you know, people homeless, having them be in more congregated facilities, in essence, and you know, help spread this illness even further. And so I think the Supreme Court did not need to reach out and intervene in this instance and assert in its view, in the view of an unnamed majority of the Supreme Court justices, that the CDC did not have this authority. So I think they've created a crisis, and they behaved in an judicially activist way to do so.
Wow. This is frightening, because this is the first step, and there are a bunch of, you know, big cases coming up beginning in October when they are back in session. You know, abortion at the top of it, right? And this, I mean, everything could change and stay changed for a long time unless the Democrats do something about it. So, Lisa Graves, you're somebody who's worked in the Justice Department. You are a lawyer. You've got the credentials. What do you think about adding seats to the court?
Well, I certainly think that the court should be expanded. I think that the Constitution doesn't set any size for the court. There's no numerical limit in the Supreme Court, you know, in the provision of this Constitution that relates to the creation of the Supreme Court. We've had 9 justices on the Supreme Court for about 150 years, and the population of the United States was much, much, much smaller back then by leaps and bounds. In fact, we have a situation with this Supreme Court that they receive nearly 9,000 requests to hear cases a year, and they, hear basically less than 10% and decide, about 1% of those cases. And so a lot of cases are not being heard because the Supreme Court is taking fewer cases, even than it took sort of in the pre-computer era. So you have these justices who have all these clerks who have all this technology. They're hearing fewer cases, and it's the same size as the court has been since the mid-1800s. And so I do think the court needs to be expanded just in terms of the workload of our federal court system, which has a lot more cases. But also, I think on the merit, substantively, aside from the process point, that what we have is a court that has been packed by the Republican Party. In my lifetime, in the last 50 years, of the 20 seats that have been confirmed to the people confirmed to different seats on the U.S. Supreme Court, 16 of them have been Republicans. Only 4 have been appointed by Democratic presidents. And we just saw this, incredible theft of Supreme Court seats under Trump, where a vacancy that arose when President Obama was president in 2016 was basically stolen by Mitch McConnell for Donald Trump.
Yep.
And then again last fall, another case in which Supreme Court seat opened and was basically stolen by the Republicans.
That's right. And then with the other seat that he filled, which would be Brett Kavanaugh's, there are issues about his background, that he was not properly vetted, that there's stuff there now that really needs to be investigated. Is there any way to recall a Supreme Court justice if you find out that, you know, he lied while he was during his confirmation hearings?
Well, I think we already have ample evidence, in my view, that Brett Kavanaugh lied under oath and committed perjury, in my view, during his confirmation hearings for the D.C. Circuit. Yeah. And then I think, again, in his nomination to the Supreme Court, as I said back in September of 2018, I think Brett Kavanaugh should have been impeached then rather than promoted to the highest court in the country. And I think still that the House of Representatives should investigate Brett Kavanaugh, should find and secure the additional papers from the Bush administration that would further underscore how much he misled the United States Senate Judiciary Committee. And I believe that he should, in fact, be impeached from the United States Supreme Court.
Wow. And it's, as do I, but you're the authority here. But is there anybody in Democratic Party leadership who's willing to do this? Is there anyone who's got the balls to take this on?
Well, I think, you know, there are obviously are members who have also spoken about Brett Kavanaugh's testimony in response to the testimony of Dr. Christine Blasey Ford and what she said he did to her as a young person. And there's also the recent revelations from just this past month, where it turns out that the FBI did not investigate thousands of tips that it received from citizens, which is consistent with what people were saying at the time, that there were a number of people who said that they had evidence about how Brett Kavanaugh had treated women, and that they were never interviewed by the FBI. In fact, what happened was the FBI transmitted what it considered to be relevant tips, whatever that means, to the Trump White House, which apparently used the circular file to disregard them and push this man onto our Supreme Court for a lifetime seat. So I know that there are members of Congress, both in this on the Senate side and the House side, that are very disturbed that you have someone like Brett Kavanaugh serving on the Supreme Court. Even President Trump said that Brett Kavanaugh, the allegations against Brett Kavanaugh were so severe that had Trump not stood by him, he wouldn't be employed by any law firm in the city of D.C. Those are Trump's words.
God.
But I also think that, that the challenge with the circumstances we find ourselves in the U.S. Senate is you could very well have a vote in the House to impeach someone. But whether you'd be able to actually convict them in the Senate,
that's the problem,
remains severely in question, as we saw with the, you know, tremendous evidence, tremendous, and I mean that in the most sincere way, tremendous real evidence against Donald Trump regarding the January 6th insurrection, and also previously his obstruction of justice and his collaboration of his agents with Putin, as, you know, detailed in the Mueller report and then further described by the House managers of the impeachment, the first impeachment. And yet we have a Republican minority in the Senate that is willing to turn a blind eye on high crimes and misdemeanors by Trump. And so I think that there may well be concern on the part of members who are concerned themselves about Brett Kavanaugh being on the Supreme Court, about whether they could successfully pursue an actual conviction of impeachment in the United States Senate.
Right. And the thing is, so much of the Senate, of Congress, of America is so divided along party lines that there is no putting country first. I mean, I think we do. But if you're working in favor of the country, you want to get the Republicans out of there because they're destroying it. Lisa Graves, I got to ask you this. I know I saw that you shared the thing I posted, the Trevor Noah law ad for insurrection protection. This thing went viral. It's blowing my mind today. It has 24,000 likes. It has taken over my whole Twitter thing for the last 24 hours. I've never had anything like this happen before. And it's not even mine. It's Trevor Noah's. But here's my question. The few trolls that have come at me, and because I'm getting hit by all sides on the Twitter machine, so many of them are going, well, you know, you call it an insurrection, but none of the prosecutors have charged anyone with insurrection or anything even close. And you know what? I hate to say it, but that's true. I know we're not very far along yet. There are still hundreds of these insurrectionists who haven't yet been charged. But is anybody going to be held accountable for this?
Well, I do think that there are, you know, obviously there have been, I think, more than 500 people who have been either arrested or charged by the FBI,
right,
for a variety of crimes. I don't know. You know, I know that there are additional investigations that are ongoing, and the crimes are, you know, serious, very serious crimes in many instances. I don't know in terms of the you know, the troll pushback. I think that's a bit of a red herring because it clearly was an insurrection.
I know.
It was obvious to all of us who were watching it, unless you were, you know, somehow you drank the Kool-Aid of Trumpist, you know, deceit.
Yep.
You could see Trump urging people to go to the Capitol.
Yep.
to basically do what they could to be strong, you know, he said, in essence, to try to stop the count. You saw Rudy Giuliani at that same platform,
yep,
the same stage that Trump had been on, say, we've got to have trial by combat. You
yep
could see the words from Donald Trump's son and his call, you know, call to action, call to arms. And then you could see the action of the White House in not taking any measures to ensure that there were that the Pentagon responded to was, you know, telecast this violent attack on our Capitol, this assault on our Capitol, and this effort to stop the vote. And so I don't think that, you know, whether they ultimately charged Donald Trump himself with the crime of inciting an insurrection or not, the fact is that I think it was an insurrection. And anyone who can't see that, I think, is willfully blind,
yeah,
to what the evidence before their eyes has been. And so I certainly hope that there'll be additional charges. And I personally think that Donald Trump should be charged with a crime, the crime of incitement,
yeah,
of violence and of an insurrection, because he wanted that vote to be stopped. And he did everything he could in the days leading up to that vote to stop that vote from counting.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, in essence, even unleashed the crowd to attack Pence. And as you know, and people who were watching saw, there were people marching through the corridors of the Capitol calling for, you know, Pence, looking for Pence and looking,
yeah,
for Nancy Pelosi.
Hang Mike Pence. They're chanting,
these people
hang
have
Mike
violence
Pence
on their mind.
Right.
They were behaving with violence and they were attempting to break into the chambers of our legislature and stop the vote. And there were people who, as we all saw, were in those chambers who had weapons, who
mm-hmm
had zip ties,
yep,
who had mechanisms with them to harm, injure, kidnap, or kill our elected representatives. And it was incredibly serious. And the trolls, you know, that have been attacking you are just Kool-Aid drinkers.
Yes.
And, you know, it's too bad. I feel sorry for them that they are so deluded and so aggressive in their delusion, but
yep
they are deluded. The facts yep are completely against them.
Right. Well, I've just been blocking them. I'm taking my own advice and I'm not arguing with them. I'm just blocking them today. It's better for my frame of mind. So Lisa Graves, I got one other question for you, and I want to go back to the Supreme Court decision on this eviction moratorium, because then I read something. Now, you these days, you run True North Research at truenorthresearch.org, and you also have a newsletter, truenorthresearch.substack.com. I'll put all the info on the blog where I post the show today at nicolesandler.com for people who want to subscribe. It's free, but you give a lot of great information. You've been writing, I mean, for years. You're the one who introduced us to the Koch brothers and told us what they were about. I read that Charles Koch is the one who was bankrolling this campaign to end the eviction bans during the pandemic.
Well, I have to say there are other folks definitely who deserve credit for helping to drag Charles Koch into the sunlight, including Jane Mayer and
yes oh, yes
Greenpeace,
of course,
and others. But I certainly have been writing about them since 2009 and have helped shine as bright a light as I can on them. I don't know Nicole, but I'll definitely look into it and get back to you. I'd
okay
love to be back on the show about that if there's additional material and evidence about that. What I know is that a number of the Koch-funded groups or Koch-led groups have been opposing nearly every component of the COVID relief measures.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wouldn't surprise me if that's true.
Yeah, there's a piece, Lisa,
I always like to examine sure. those that spending by those groups myself. And so I'm definitely happy to come back on and report back to you all about
Please
it.
Please do. I'm looking at an article from Jacobin magazine from May, just May. And the headline is by Andrew Perez and David Sirota. And it says Charles Koch funded the push to lift the eviction ban while expanding his real estate holdings. That's the headline.
Wow. Well, I have to say, if Dave Sirota wrote it, I have a high level confidence in it
right?
being true, because Dave's an excellent researcher and analyst. And so I miss that, Nicole, and I appreciate your raising it and flagging it for folks.
You're my entree into Coke world. And so I just, so good. Okay. So you do your homework on that. One last thing, there's breaking news. I don't know if you heard this, but David just stuck his head in here and said, Sirhan Sirhan was paroled.
Wow. No, I haven't heard that either. So, you know, I have been working on other things related to Charles Koch summer, but I had missed that role. But Sirhan, the assassin, he got parole, and he's the man who killed Bobby Kennedy.
Yes.
I'm stunned.
Yep. Here it is from the Washington Post. California. Oh my God. California parole. Oh, stop. I subscribe to the Washington Post. Let me in and read this. Okay. Oh, come on. Hold on. It's not going to be.
Wow. It's just heartbreaking. I mean, do you imagine how the world could have been so different if Sirhan Sirhan hadn't murdered Bobby Kennedy, if Bobby Kennedy had won that election in 1968, how different our world
completely
could be.
Okay, here's the article. The headline reads, California parole panel votes in favor of release from prison for Sirhan Sirhan. Parole for 77-year-old convicted of assassinating Robert F. Kennedy. Oh, still must be approved by the full board and the governor. So the parole board today voted in favor of parole. But now I guess Gavin Newsom can stop it. So that's where it is. The California governor, currently Newsom, who's facing a recall election, which ends September 14th, will have 30 days to uphold the decision, reverse it, or send it back to the board.
Wow.
Wait a minute. Kennedy's family made a late decision to appear at the hearing, with son Douglas H. Kennedy speaking in favor of his parole. Quote, I really do believe any prisoner who is found to be not a threat to themselves or the world should be released. I believe that applies to everyone, every human being, including Mr. Sirhan. I was very deeply moved by his expression of remorse, and at times it brought tears to my eyes and affected me very deeply. And then Bobby Kennedy Jr., I'm blown away by this, sent a letter to the parole board on Friday in support of Sirhan after learning that the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department had sent a letter opposing parole on behalf of the Kennedy family. This is wild. Now, I knew Bobby Kennedy was a little wacky when it came to vaccinations, but really, you're going to let the guy who murdered your father out? I'm sorry. I don't get that.
Wow. Bobby Kennedy Jr., right?
Yes. The one who wrote, Bobby Kennedy Jr.
Wow. Wow. Well, that's great. Well, it sounds like there's more to the story. We'll see what the governor does and what the full parole board does. But, you know, I don't know. I can certainly understand the points that they made. But I also think that murdering a president, I think you probably should have a life sentence.
Yeah, I think so
forever.
Too. Yeah. This is surprising to me. All right. I you know, that just popped up. It's boy, Friday afternoon news dump time there, but there you go. Wow. All right. Something to ruminate over the weekend. So Lisa Graves, you'll look into the Charles Koch and his involvement in the Supreme Court.
I'm going to read Dave Sirota's article and take a closer look, but I think that, you know, his research is so excellent that I have confidence in it. I'm so sorry I missed it, Nicole, but we have been writing a bit about the Charles Koch role in, along with Milton Friedman and others, in trying to make it harder for people to go to public universities for low cost. And in fact, one of the things I've been doing this summer is doing a series that shows how Charles Koch and his operatives suggested that public universities should cost more. This is in the 1970s, and that the way students should pay for higher costs of public universities is student loans. And now we have this massive student loan debt crisis that I think the seeds were planted by Milton Friedman and Charles Koch and some of these other libertarians who were trying to, you know, really starve government and limit a public support for publicly funded universities.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, God. Everything is upside down right now. I wish we had competent people in charge. it's a little depressing.
Thanks for calling me, Nicole. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us.
I would love to come back on and talk a little bit more about this issue and more. We'll see what happens next on the eviction moratorium, whether Congress can fix it or whether the states can redress it.
Okay. It's a date. I will be in touch and we'll book another time for you to come on. I always love having you here, Lisa. Lisa Grays,
right.
Everybody. Thank you so much. And check out truenorthresearch.org. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye. Have a great weekend. All right. And it is the weekend. We are here and I'm going to go have a weekend. I am going to leave you with the news. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Sorry for the craziness at times, but, you know, that's how we roll around here, I guess. All right. With that said, I guess let's do the news, right? Then I got to push this button. All right. I'll see you Monday, everyone. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, it was time to end a 20-year war. Thank you so much.
President Biden wrapping up remarks and questions from the press Thursday afternoon about the attack on the airport in Kabul earlier in the day. Two suspected ISIS-K suicide bombers struck, killing 13 U.S. troops and at least 95 Afghans just outside the airport, where thousands had gathered to try to escape the Taliban. Right after the explosions, gunmen opened fire on service members and civilians. At least 140 people were injured in the attack, including 18 U.S. service members. The attack came after repeated warnings by the United States and its allies of potentially imminent terrorist threats against the effort to evacuate Americans, other foreigners, and Afghans who've worked with foreign missions and are desperate to escape following the takeover. These U.S. deaths were the first American military fatalities in Afghanistan since February of 2020. Evacuations are continuing, and President Biden is determined to get as many people out as possible.
To those who carried out this attack, as well as anyone who wishes America harm, know this. We will not forgive. We will not forget. We will hunt you down and make you pay. I will defend our interests and our people with every measure at my command.
Seven Capitol Police officers on Thursday filed a lawsuit against the former guy and some of his supporters over their roles in the January 6th attack on the Capitol. The civil rights lawsuit accuses Trump and his friends in the Proud Boys and Oath Keepers of using domestic terrorism in a failed effort to keep Trump in power, even though he lost the 2020 election. The plaintiffs, five of whom are black, said the plot used white supremacist-laden conspiracy theories, falsely alleging voter fraud, particularly in heavily black areas. Damon Hewitt, president of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law, which is representing the officers, said the insurrection, quote, was a blatant attempt to stifle the votes and the voices of millions of Americans, particularly black voters. And now we know the identity of the Capitol Police officer who shot and killed Ashley Babbitt. U.S. Capitol Police Lieutenant Michael Byrd stepped forward Thursday to publicly identify himself as the officer who fatally shot Ashley Babbitt as she tried to force her way into the House chamber. Lieutenant Byrd sat for an interview with NBC's Lester Holt.
Former President Trump has talked about you and this incident. He says she was murdered. What does it feel like to hear that from a former president?
Well, it's disheartening. If he was in the room or anywhere and I'm responsible for him, I was prepared to do the same thing for him and his family.
Would you have his back today if you were so assigned?
I sure would, because it's my job.
As I said, your name has been on the internet for some time in an unofficial way. A lot of rumors, a lot of accusations, one of which is that you had some sort of political motive. You were a political operative.
I do my job for Republican, for Democrat, for white, for black, red, blue, green.
Bert is a 28-year veteran of the force, and he explained that he repeatedly yelled at the insurrectionists to stop trying to break through the barricaded door to the speaker's lobby. Bird, who is black, said he had received death threats, some racist in nature, since his identity was leaked online. So this happened on Thursday. The Supreme Court is not currently in session, but it issued an 8-page opinion blocking the Biden administration's extension of the moratorium on evictions due to the pandemic. And of course, the court's 6-member conservative majority said Congress would have to approve the policy for the moratorium to continue. So in this 8-page opinion, which is unusual for an emergency order, the court wrote, quote, Congress was on notice that a further extension would almost surely require new legislation, yet it failed to act. The court's 3 Democratic appointees dissented. But wait, there's even more. In Texas, the Republican-led House on Thursday passed new voting restrictions after an unprecedented effort by the Democrats to stop it. Remember, they left the state to deny the chamber a quorum, but enough of them returned home, allowing them to take a vote, and the measure ultimately passed 79-37 in a mostly party-line vote. The state Senate already passed a similar bill, and they'll now consider the House version, which adds new ID requirements for people seeking to vote by mail. It bans drive-through and 24-hour voting options and empowers partisan poll watchers. What could possibly go wrong? Turning to COVID news, for the first time since January, the number of people hospitalized for COVID-19 in the U.S. is above 100,000. This is due to a surge fueled by the spread of the highly contagious Delta variant of the virus. Levels are highest across the South. Florida is the state with the most hospitalizations, with more than 17,000. Texas comes in second with more than 14,000. Both these states have Republican governors who have taken drastic actions to prevent local governments from any mitigation efforts. They've banned local governments from imposing mask and vaccine requirements. Many hospitals across the country have been overwhelmed, with a lot of them running short of beds in their intensive care units. And now with this new variant, children are increasingly affected. Kids now account for 36% of Tennessee's COVID-19 cases, a new, scary, dangerous trend we're seeing around the country. Well, 58 years ago, Martin Luther King Jr. and Congressman John Lewis, before he was a congressman, alongside of other civil rights giants, gathered in the nation's capital for the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. That was August 28th, 1963, when hundreds of thousands of Americans came together demanding changes. And what came out of it? Well, the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Voting Rights Act of 1965 were direct responses to the march and the decades of advocacy leading up to it. But our voting rights have been under attack for years now, and it's past time to take action. On Tuesday night, the House passed the historic John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act. Every Democratic member voted in favor, and every single Republican opposed it. This legislation includes a new formula for determining which states are subject to preclearance under Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act, which requires states with a history of discriminatory voting practices to get federal approval before passing new voting laws. The previous formula was struck down by the Supreme Court in 2013. And ever since, Republican-led states are doubling down on trying to suppress your vote. Since January, 48 states have introduced 389 bills that amount to outright voter suppression. Many of them have already become law. These laws suppress voting methods that lead to high turnout. It bans ballot drop boxes and mail-in voting, reduces early voting days and hours, restricts who can get a mail-in ballot. You know, you get the idea. You've seen it happen. So, on Saturday, August 28th, on the 58th anniversary of the original March on Washington, thousands are expected again, not only in D.C., but in Atlanta, Miami, Houston, Phoenix, and other cities across the country. For info, just visit marchonforvotingrights.org. This is the only democracy we've got. We need to protect it. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is completely listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com. Please click on that donate button.